ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Israel says that it will send negotiators to Cairo after Hamas agreed to a ceasefire proposed by Qatari and Egyptian mediators. Still, Israel has ordered more than 100,000 Palestinians in Rafah to evacuate the city as it begins strikes in the city's east. That's despite pressure from the US and the UN to hold off an assault where more than 1 million Palestinians are sheltering. Jonathan Fowler is a senior spokesperson for the UN's Palestinian Refugee Agency, UNRWA, based in Jordan. Jonathan, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you very much indeed for having me on the show.
Jonathan, what do we know at the moment about people starting to leave Rafah and the situation on the ground?
Well, people have already started to leave Rafah for the Khan Yunis and middle area. But basically, today's orders for the evacuation from East Rafah to the expanded Al-Mawasi zone, which is already massively overcrowded and lacks safety and essential services, that affects around 100,000 people. Frankly, a mass evacuation of this scale is not safely possible, and it's simply going to exacerbate the suffering of the people who are already in an absolutely desperate situation.
What are the biggest concerns from an aid and humanitarian perspective, not only to have the current situation, but to have people on the move and now reports of this offensive beginning?
Well, exactly. I mean, this is an enormous challenge. I mean, what we urgently need is a ceasefire right now for the sake of humanity and peace. We've been calling for this since the beginning of the war because you have multiple layers of displacement. People have been displaced multiple times. Now, Rafah in itself, the wider Rafah area, is around 1.4, 1.5 million people there. That's about six times the pre-war population. And that includes roughly half of them are children. So this is a huge population at risk. If people have to just keep going on the move again, basically, they're getting pushed beyond their breaking point. Now, the United Nations, as part of the contingency efforts, we've been actually extending our presence northwards over recent weeks for programmatic reasons, but we've also been continuing to sustain operations in Rafah because the huge population there of displaced people, we have to continue to try to get food aid, shelter supplies, medical supplies to the people who are already there. So anything which forces people to move around simply complicates the humanitarian operation for people who are already in an absolutely desperate situation.
Will your staff be leaving parts of Rafah as well?
No, the UN overall and UNRWA, as part of the UN family, we're committed to stay and deliver in Rafah. There's no question at this stage of a withdrawal or anything like that. We're absolutely committed to staying and to deliver because that's where most of the people are.
Has there been a greater access to aid coming in to Gaza in the past few weeks, especially since the World Central Kitchen attack?
Sadly, not. I mean, there've been occasional spikes of the number of trucks being able to come in. But, I mean, basically, you need to get to meet the minimum survival needs of the population in the Gaza Strip. You need to get 500 trucks of aid a day and, you know, food, shelter supplies, medical supplies, those kind of things. Now, there was one day in April where the number of trucks getting into the Gaza Strip reached just over 300. That's still way, way short of the 500 that's essential. But the average in the month of April was 190 a day, and it hasn't, frankly, improved a lot this month.
What are the concerns in terms of physical shelter with people on the move and also military action ahead? What sort of shelters are people using in that Rafah area at the moment? What do they have over them?
Well, this is precisely an issue with the fact that people have been displaced multiple times because each time people have been displaced, they've either had to leave things behind because they simply cannot carry them, or else they've actually been permitted only to carry small bags, those kind of things. So this means people have had less and less each time they've been displaced. The sheer size of the displaced population means that you've got people living in tarpaulin tents, you know, not living in fixed structures, these kind of things. Now, that has all the problems, you know, during the winter period and during rains. Huge problems there for people's health because that's not the kind of shelter which is appropriate. And now with the summer, I mean, you know, the inside of these tents, like furnaces, and The risk, of course, is that if people move on to the area like Al-Mawasi, there's very, very little infrastructure there. So if people don't have tent materials, you know, that kind of stuff has to get into the zone. Can it get into the zone? That's a whole issue. And so what kind of shelter is available for people is extremely difficult, and it's a very, very open question.
And to be clear in terms of the numbers, if you're saying there's around over a million people in this rougher area, so Israel is saying around 90% can stay and around 10% need to move, is that right?
Well, in terms of the numbers, I mean, we're talking about it's along those lines. I mean, we estimate that the evacuation order in East Rafah to Al-Mawasi, that affects around 100,000 people. So it's somewhat less than 10%, but it's still, this is a huge number of people moving to a place where, you know, they have nothing to take with them, going to a place where there is nothing and where it's extremely difficult to get anything in to meet their needs. So this is, this is a huge problem, and it's just not going to improve the situation with displaced people.
Israel says the latest ceasefire proposal agreed to by Hamas is far from Israel's necessary demands, but it's still agreed to send negotiators to Cairo. Is UNRWA preparing for a possible ceasefire? Are you putting contingencies in place, Jonathan?
Well, we have all kinds of contingency plans, of course. I mean, we have had throughout this war, and we have been advocating from the very beginning for a ceasefire, as I said. So, I mean, you know, we have those kind of things in the pipeline. But tragically, this war is a war of superlatives and not in a good sense. You know, the scale of this humanitarian crisis, including the man-made famine, I mean, this is unprecedented in this region. This is the biggest humanitarian crisis in decades in this region and one of the largest in the world. But frankly, contingency plans don't offer very much solace. I mean, the grim reality is that no preparation can shield the people of Gaza if there is an offensive. And frankly, you know, if the ceasefire happens immediately, the difficulty that people face, for example, if people try to move back to areas that they fled from initially, is that these places are absolutely littered with unexploded ordnance. You know, they're not fit for human habitation. So where do people go? If the guns fall silent, that is extremely important. But then what happens the day after? That is another open question. We do have contingency plans in place for this, but it's not going to be simple.
Jonathan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jonathan Fowler is senior spokesperson for the UN agency UNRWA, talking about the situation in Gaza.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.